Chapter 3. The Court Case of Charles Darnay. Tellson's Bank of London was a dangerous place. If you forged a signature or opened somebody else's letter in the bank, you could be hanged. Jerry Cruncher delivered messages for Tellson's Bank. The offices were old, dark and dirty. One day, an elderly clerk at Tellson's gave Cruncher a job.
"Do you know the court at the Old Bailey?" the clerk asked.
"Yes, I do," Jerry Cruncher said.
"Do you know Mr. Lorry?" the clerk asked. "He works for the bank."
"Yes, I know Mr. Lorry," Cruncher replied.
"Well, go to the court and find him," the clerk said. "He will be a witness at a trial. He wants to have a messenger nearby."
"What is the trial about, sir?" Cruncher asked.
"Treason," the clerk answered.
"Treason," Cruncher said. "That's very serious. If they decide you are guilty, they cut you into 4 pieces.
The clerk nodded.
"That's the law. The law is the law."
"It seems like a cruel law to me," Cruncher said.
"Cruncher, take my advice," the clerk said. "Don't say anything bad about the law. A man named Charles Darnay will be accused of treason. They will hang him, slice him open, burn him, and then cut off his head."
"But only if they decide he's guilty," Cruncher said.
The clerk laughed. He said,
"Don't you worry, he'll be guilty."
Jerry Cruncher arrived at the busy courtroom at the Old Bailey in central London. He pushed through the noisy crowd and saw Mr. Lorry with the other witnesses. Suddenly, the judge entered, followed by 2 guards, and the room became quiet. The guards brought in the prisoner, Charles Darnay, and everybody turned to look at him. Darnay was young and handsome. He looked at the witnesses and saw Mr. Lorry standing next to an old man and a young woman. It was Dr. Manette and Lucy, and they looked very worried. Then Darnay faced the judge. He was not afraid. The judge was ready to begin.
"Charles Darnay," he said, "you are accused of travelling between France and England as a spy. Are you guilty or not guilty?"
Darnay immediately replied,
"Not guilty."
The Attorney General stood next to the judge. He was ready to hang Darnay. He called the first witness, a man called John Barsad.
"Mr. Barsad," the Attorney General said, "is it true that you know the prisoner?"
Barsad said, "Yes, I know Darnay. He's a friend of mine, or at least he used to be before I discovered that he was a spy. Darnay is guilty. He's a traitor against England. I have known him for years. He was even involved in the American Revolution." The crowd whispered to one another. It was not going well for Darnay. Now Darnay's lawyer, Mr. Stryver, approached the witness. It was his turn to ask questions. Stryver said,
"Mr. Barsad, have you ever been a spy?"
Barsad said, "No," but he looked nervous.
"Have you ever owed money?"
Stryver asked.
"Well, just once," Barsad said.
"Did you ever cheat at dice?" And were you ever kicked down the stairs?
Stryver asked.
Once I got a kick at the top of the stairs, Barsad said, and then I fell down the rest of them. The crowd laughed.
Mr. Barsad, Stryver said, have you ever had a gambling problem?
Barsad became angry. He said, no more of a problem than anybody else.
Stryver was angry too.
He said, isn't it true that you hardly know Mr. Charles Darnay? And isn't it true that you have been paid a lot of money to falsely accuse him of treason? What kind of friend are you? You are an unreliable witness. Please leave the court.
The crowd murmured as Barsad left the court. Mr. Lorry was the next witness. He told the judge that he did not know Charles Darnay very well. He had only sat with him on a ship from France to England. Next, the judge called Lucy Manette. The whole courtroom turned to look at the pretty young woman with the long brown hair. She seemed timid, and her weak old father watched nervously.
Miss Manette, the Attorney General said, have you ever seen the prisoner before?
Yes, I met him on a ship from France to England, she said. The gentleman came on board.
You mean the prisoner came on board?
The Attorney General said. Yes, my lord, Lucy answered. The prisoner was very kind to me. He helped protect my father from the wind and rain. He was a true gentleman.
Then Lucy started to cry.
I don't want to repay him by doing him harm today.
Miss Manette,
the Attorney General said,
you must tell the truth. What did the prisoner say to you on this ship?
Lucy was very nervous. She said, he travelled with a false name. He believed the American Revolution against the British Empire was a good thing. He hoped that George Washington would be as famous as King George III.
The crowd went wild. Charles Darnay would definitely hang for these dangerous ideas. Stryver came forward quickly.
One moment, please.
He asked for another witness, and a young man came forward. He said, I also travelled with Charles Darnay. Stryver said,
are you sure the person standing here is Charles Darnay?
Yes, the witness said, I'm sure. Suddenly, another man stepped out of the crowd and removed his wig. This man looked exactly like Charles Darnay.
Tell me,
Stryver asked the witness,
which of these two men travelled with you?
The witness was very confused. He could not see any differences between them. Stryver pointed to the man in the crowd and said,
this is my business partner, Mr. Sidney Carton. The prisoner is Charles Darnay. If the witnesses can't see any differences between them, how can you hang Mr. Darnay?
The crowd whispered. The judge ordered the jury to make their decision. Lucy Manette felt weak and fainted. Jerry Cruncher found Mr. Lorry and said,
please let me know when the jury makes a decision, and I will take the news straight to Tellson's bank.
Jerry Cruncher waited outside the courtroom for an hour and a half with the tense crowd. Finally, Mr. Lorry pushed through the crowd and gave a folded piece of paper to Cruncher.
The jury have made their decision, Lorry said. Take this to Tellson's bank immediately and let them know it.
Cruncher opened the paper and read the words written on the paper. Not guilty. Charles Darnay was free, and Mr. Stryver, Mr. Lorry, Lucy and Dr. Manette
and Sidney Carton congratulated him. Dr. Manette looked better than before, but he was still a troubled man. The court case had not been easy for him. Charles Darnay invited his look-alike, Sidney Carton, to dinner, and they went to a tavern. The men looked alike, but didn't act alike. Darnay was a man of honour and respect. He spoke softly. Carton was a heavy drinker and a weak man. His life was not easy. After they finished eating, they started to discuss Miss Manette.
"She's a fair young lady," Carton said, "and she seemed very compassionate about you."
"Yes," Darnay said. He didn't want to speak disrespectfully about Lucy, and he didn't like to gossip. Carton took another drink and said,
"I wouldn't mind being on trial for my life, if it caused Miss Manette to have such compassion for me."
Again, Darnay did not answer.
"Do you think I like you, Darnay?" Carton asked suddenly.
Darnay said, "Today you acted as if you liked me, but I don't think you do." Carton drank some more wine and then said,
"I care for no man, and I drink because I am disappointed with my useless life. We look alike, but our lives are very different. You are successful, and I am not."
"That's a pity," Darnay said. "You might use your talents in a better way. Good evening, Mr. Carton." Carton continued drinking after Darnay left. On the way out of the tavern, he stopped to look at himself in the mirror. He could have been like Darnay. He had fallen very far in life.
"Just admit it," Carton said to himself. "You detest the fellow."
Carton went back to his dusty office and had another drink with his boss, Mr. Stryver.
"You were ahead of me, Mr. Stryver," Carton said. "You were always somewhere, while I was nowhere."
Stryver said, "And whose fault is that?"
"Maybe it is yours," Carton joked. "You always pushed forward. I had no choice but to fail. Tell me something to make me feel better."
"We had a pretty witness today," Stryver said.
"Lucy Manette," Carton said. "She's just a pretty face." "Oh, I think you like her," Stryver said. "That's nonsense," Carton said. "Enough. I'm going home."
The two men said good night. Carton walked along the river through the foggy streets. He came to his home, went to bed, and cried into his pillow for his depressing life. 4 months after the trial, on a sunny day, Mr. Lorry visited Dr. Manette and Lucy. They lived in Soho, London. It was a happy home. Dr. Manette was feeling better and even gave medical advice to some patients. Mr. Lorry spoke with Lucy's governess, Miss Pross.
100 men visit my lady every day," she told him, "but none of them deserve her."
Mr. Lorry didn't believe that 100 people visited Lucy. However, Charles Darnay visited Lucy often, and they had become very close. In the garden, Charles asked Lucy and her father if they had ever visited the Tower of London. Prisoners were held there at that time.
"We've seen it," Dr. Manette said, "but only on a quick visit."
"I went there and discovered a very curious thing," Charles said. "One of the prisoners had carved some letters in the stone wall. We saw the letters, D-I-G. This was not his initials, but an instruction to dig. So we dug. We found ashes from paper and from a small bag. A prisoner had hidden a message from his jailers. The story upset Dr. Manette. His face suddenly became white.
Father, Lucy said, are you ill?
Dr. Manette said,
let's go inside. It's starting to rain.
A few hours later, Mr. Carton came to visit.
Sometimes I listen to the people on the street outside, Lucy said. I imagine that they are coming into our peaceful lives.
That is not just a fantasy, Carton said. There is a great crowd coming into our lives soon. I see them when the lightning flashes.
Just then, the thunder crashed, and he couldn't finish his sentence or explain his strange words.